coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
This is the Hagman Report, HagmanReport.com, where truth cannot be silenced. Truth can't be silenced. That's HagmanReport.com. I want to thank you for tuning in. Today is day 75 of the America Held Hostage, the Communist Chinese Party occupation of this country, or holding this country hostage, of the D.C. lockdown. Yes, that's right. It's Tuesday, March 23rd, 2021. I want to apologize for yesterday. There was no show yesterday. That involved a couple of things that just did not go right, go correctly. And on my end, I was also involved in a external investigation, which I'm going to be getting into a little bit as well. Something that took place yesterday, which I'll tell you about. By the way, Randy Taylor is out of the hospital, and he thanks you for your prayers and prayers of support. And I'll tell you what, he's doing better. He's doing better, and it's he's got a couple of articles on HagmanReport.com dated 3/21 and 3/22. So there's that. A lot of stuff to get into, of course. The big news, and folks, if you're watching this, look at your screen. This is day 75 of the – what's that? Move to my right. Okay. Thank you. What's that? I'm what?
You're floating off the screen.
Oh, all right. As Eric the Tech eats his lunch. And I made him, sorry about that. But you saw it on the screen. It's day 75 of the Chinese Communist Party occupation. So, since we last met, since we last spoke, a number of things. You saw Biden fall up the stairs of Air Force One, not once, not twice, but three times, right? It's all over. And if you haven't seen it, you know, I can't help you. You've seen it. I'm not gonna play it. Not gonna waste your time on that. It's very interesting too. American Thinker had an article which is linked to and posted on HagmanReport.com. You can go to HagmanReport.com and click on just read a paragraph, and then it takes you to American Thinker. But the Jill Biden, Edith Wilson, you know, Woodrow Wilson's wife, the parallels are, I'm sure, coming through about this. Now the other part of this is the Harris situation, the ineligibly, constitutionally ineligible Harris, of course, waiting in the wings. But there it is right there. And Jill Biden, the Edith Wilson of the new administration. All right. And folks, if you don't know the history of Woodrow Wilson, his final time in the final period in office, it would be good to know this. Now, I spoke at length, this is a couple of years ago now, Jack Cashel, who, when I stopped over to visit with Jack Cashel, we had a long conversation, and I got schooled about, educated about, Woodrow Wilson and the final days, the last days, well, the administration of Woodrow Wilson in totality. So there are a lot of parallels to that today with respect to Biden. There's also some parallels to the post-Brezhnev and days in the Soviet Union as well. But I digress. And, of course, you know, news about specifically we have news about the border, news about the Colorado shooting. Of course, I'm sure everyone knows. Maybe the mainstream media is a little slow on the uptake on this. Ahmad Alawi al-Issa is the shooting suspect in Boulder, Colorado, reportedly 21 years of age. Now, here's what I did today. And right after the Daily Mail, and this says something about the American media, the Daily Mail came out with that name first, I believe. So right away, we went to the social media, all the social media, and found the social media accounts of this individual. Now, I'm not going to glorify or put him up, put any of these finds on the screen, but I could tell you this. This guy supposedly, according to the news reports, is 21 years of age. That's a pretty rough road hard put away wet 21. But okay. Now, his social media, which has since been scrubbed, about 11 a.m. Eastern time today, in real time, I was able to watch his social media accounts being scrubbed. Oh, big surprise there. What did they contain? They contained information about his coming from Syria in the early 2000s. All right. And now you have to question. Everyone's saying, well, what's the motive? What's the motive? What's the motive? Well, okay. What happened within hours of Biden coming into office or becoming a resident in chief at the White House there? Well, there was action against Syria. Now, this guy is reportedly a Syrian, allegedly a Syrian from Syria. Came to the United States in the early 2000s, just according to the social media plot, the social media presence that he had. And I'll tell you this, if it wasn't his, why scrub, you know, why scrub it in real time at 11 o'clock, roughly 11 o'clock a.m. Eastern time today? Why scrub it? He had, information, a lot of quotes from the Quran, definitely an Islamic, radicalized Muslim, in my view, based on my analysis of the social networking. So there's that. But you know, this comes a week roughly after a Boulder judge said, "Hey, you know, the AR ban and the magazine ban is no, that's not going to fly." So a week after that. So you've got that, then you've got the Syrian situation with respect to Biden, okay? And this guy goes off and shoots 9 and plus a police officer 10. And my heart and our hearts go out to the family that of all the victims and the police officer especially who ran into a situation where this guy reportedly had a long gun, rifle, as opposed to the police officer's handgun. And, you know, so right away there was a disparity of firepower. But for the officer's bravery, New York Times, I believe, put the police officer's description, heroic actions, in quotation marks. I don't get that. I wonder about that, but that's a digression. All right. One thing here is where I want to start. And, you know, there's a lot of people out there. There's a lot of hand-wringing going on out there. There's a lot of people saying, oh, my gosh, we're taking over. Nothing's going to work. And, you know, I got to tell you, yesterday, and again, this was my issue. Yesterday got away from me. Okay, I did something in the field, and I expected to be back for the show. And, oh, boy, it took a little longer, and it has to do with the very issues Coach Dave Dobmeier is talking about. And folks, if you haven't done so already, do we still have the Russ Dizdar, you know, the promo for that? Because this is critically important, folks, if you haven't done so already. I'm putting you on the spot, Eric the Tech. Eric the Tech got the day off yesterday, too. I think he went fishing. I don't know.
I did.
You did. See what happens when I work and he goes fishing. But he deserves it. I'll tell you what, he works like 24/7. But anyway.
And we don't get nice days around here, so it was really nice out.
You know, I could tell his, you should see, okay, this is the strangest thing. He walked in the office today, walked in my office and you know, he's kind of, he's winter pale, shall I say. And then he shows his hands. And he's got a sunburn on both hands.
Yep.
Don't know.
Funny story, though.
Yes?
Where I started fishing at.
Yeah, well, wait a second. You were actually fishing then?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Was at a place called the Convention Center.
Mm-hmm.
Where we live.
Mm-hmm.
And you've got all these dudes fishing, no masks, no worries, just chilling, hanging out. The convention center's where the people in masks get vaccinated. So there's a giant line 20 feet away from us with people masked up and getting the shot.
The experimental gene therapy, it's not a vaccination. You know that. Of course he knows that. And, we've talked about that. It's an experimental gene therapy, not FDA approved yet. People are saying, oh, pick me, pick me. We're going to get into the genetically modified human aspect of that. There's a great report done by, I think it was Greg Reese. If not, I'm going to show you something about that. So a packed hour. In this communist contagion, which we find ourselves, this industrial scale crime spree, the human industrial scale human trafficking that is the southern border. And folks, you saw the, I hope you saw the images, Project Veritas, the video of Project Veritas, showing the people, the, illegals. They were wrapped up. I swear it was like Eric the Tech ordered something from Chipotle or Taco Bell or Moe's or whatever. You know, they look like tacos. And that's not a disparaging comment, but they look like, you know, wrapped up in the silver, what were they, Mylar blankets or whatever, all through these cages. And that's what they are, cages. You've got, nearly a 2,000% increase. At the southern border. This is not a crisis. People say, well, this is a crisis. Yeah, it's a humanitarian crisis, but it's a planned, orchestrated invasion of the United States. All right. And, thank you for pulling that up. There it is right there. And, folks, I'll tell you what, if you look at these pictures, I don't know, is that the one that I sent where they've got numerous, pictures and videos and such? Is this off of our website? No, I don't think it is off of our website. Okay, so if you look at these images, and this is on Breitbart, okay, that's the Breitbart link, and it'll be in the program description box, HagmanReport.com, and then click on the link to the videos. But if you look at this, if you look at these images, and, you know, where is the outrage of Cortez, AOC? Where's AOC crying in front of this? Oh, this is not, this is, you know, this is, oh my gosh, this is 2,000%, by the way, worse than President Trump. President Trump stopped this. Biden started it up. Biden is solely responsible for this. And when I say Biden, you know, I'm not talking about Joe, you know, Mr. Potato Head. Because he's just taking orders. He's just a placeholder. He's getting his orders from Obama, who's getting his orders from the globalists. Look at these pictures. Look at them. This is a planned invasion of the United States. This is orchestrated. And I'll tell you who the biggest offenders of this are, the biggest perpetrators of this right now. If you've got NGOs, you have NGOs. They are non-governmental organizations who are paid by the government per head, who are actually facilitating this invasion into the United States by these people, the supposedly unaccompanied minors, which I learned doesn't really paint the correct picture. You're looking at people that could be up to 30 years old. All right. And in these cages, which are bursting at the seams, there have been reports of assaults, sexual assaults, women being beaten, children being assaulted and beaten. Oh, it's you folks, the mainstream media, the corporate mass media, the lying media have not told you anything, not told you the truth. And the communist people within our, the communist denizens in our Congress and in our Senate, and folks, I will tell you this. They are not telling you the truth, the severity. Now, these people, now, here's, this is not just a border issue. If you think, well, I don't live near the border because, or I don't live near the border, so this doesn't affect me. Oh, it's going to. They're busing. They're busing these illegals from the border into all, well, into locations all over the United States. So if you think for one second, well, I live in Nebraska and, or I live in Idaho and I'm not going to be affected by this. It's a tragedy, sure, but I'm not going to be affected by this. You're wrong, because you will be, because they're busing these people all over the country. In some cases, they're flying them when they're not putting them up in hotel rooms, the ones that you don't see on the screen.
If you've got a bus stop in your town, they are coming.
That's right. Or an airport or a train station. Or
no matter how big, how small.
You got it, man. You know, and so Eric the Tech, I mean, you've got millions. This is a 1,962% increase. And it's interesting. Did you happen to see, there's a videotape or a video clip out there of Biden saying, oh, we're going to go back to the way it was, meaning we're going to go back to the Trump. Did you, the Trump policy of discouraging people to come to the border. Did you ever see that? Or
no, I didn't.
Yeah. There's a couple of interesting videos out there saying, okay, well, yeah, we put Facebook messages and social media messages out there. Come on up. The water's fine. You know, that kind of thing. And now they're reversing that, saying, well, the optics are bad. And it's all about optics. It's about managing the optics. And I want people to know that they're going to still come in, but it's all about the optics and Border Patrol. I had a conversation this past weekend with a Border Patrol agent, who said, look, the most useless organization on the planet, in his view, and he's employed by this, is the Border Patrol. There's no morale. Morale is non-existent. People are just biding their time in order to get to retirement. And the other part, because of the policies of the left, the communist left. And the other part is here, and it's changed dramatically since President Trump was in office. But the other part is too, is the job security. Yeah, we let, you might get, 100 coming through the border, but, hey, if 10 get away, that's job security for us. Now consider that statement. I'm serious. That's the way they look at it. Can you imagine that?
The way I look at it is the National Guard's butt should be down at the border 24/7.
Well,
instead of the beautiful walls of D.C.
Yes. And Jen Psaki had a press conference where she was called on the carpet about this. I think we might have a still image of Jen Psaki. Okay. Well, the still image, though, first, and then we'll play the video. But the still image of Jen Psaki, let's put that up if we can. Do I have it? Let's see here. It's the first one on the it's the first one under the gate. On the list. There it is. She's gonna circle back to that question about the border issue. Yeah, keep that handy. That's Jen Psaki there. okay. Don't throw things. The studio audience is getting riled up here. So, all right. So that's Jen Psaki. But let's do this first. There was a video, and I don't know, what I try to do is I try to get, you know what, before I get into that, I want to give people hope, because I started out earlier saying, you know, people are wringing their hands and my goodness, the news is bad. I do want to start out with a little bit of hope. All right. Because today is a historic day. On March 23rd, 1775, Patrick Henry delivered his Give Me Liberty or Give Me Death speech, or paper, whatever you want to call it. So I would like if we can put that up. I sent you the link. There we go. You're good, man. See what a day of rest does for you? All right.
Do my best following you.
I know. It's like,
I'm going to start with this.
It's like,
right when the cameras come on. Something else.
Never mind. Yeah, I know. I did say, because we have a program schedule here, an hour, you know, for the hour schedule. And, I never, ever follow that template or that schedule. Okay. So anyway, go ahead and put that back on because I do want to cite from this. I think this is so important because people, I think they're looking for leadership. This is what I've seen. They're looking for answers. They're looking for people who have the grit to stand up and say enough is enough. And this is by Patrick Henry. March 23rd, that's right, how many years ago? 1775, so you can do the math from 2021. But
did he post this on WordPress back in 1775?
He did. He put this on his Instagram, you know, Patrick Henry did. Can you do that? I don't even know what – anyway.
I think Instagram's for photos and stuff.
Well, he had
but
a
you
selfie.
Could do a meme. Be yeah. tough to fit all this text in there, though.
Well, yeah, that's true. I think Patrick Henry did a selfie back then. But look at this, folks. You know, he starts out by saying, "No man thinks more highly than I do of the patriotism as well as the abilities of the very worthy gentlemen who have just addressed the House. But different men often see the same subject in different lights, and therefore I hope it will not be thought disrespectful to those gentlemen if, entertaining as I do opinions of a character very opposite to theirs, I shall speak forth my sentiments freely and without reserve." Now, aside from the grammatically correct aspect of that, I think it's great. How great is that? The statesman. Where are the statesmen? Instead, what was it? Hank Johnson. You know, Guam could tip over. Okay. Where are the statesmen for today? Or AOC. This is no time for ceremony. Oh, my goodness. I echo that sentiment. The question before the House is one of awful moment to this country. Boy, history rhymes, doesn't it? For my own part, I consider it nothing less than a question of freedom or slavery, and in proportion to the magnitude of the subject ought to be the freedom of the debate. Now, I'm not going to read this whole thing, but just forgive me and permit me to go on a little bit more here. It is only in this way that we can hope to arrive at truth and fulfill the great responsibility which we hold to God in our country. Wow. Now, he continues, "Should I keep back my opinions at such a time through fear of giving offense?" Because I don't want to offend anyone. Oh, gosh, I don't want to offend anyone. And worse, I don't want to get banned off Twitter, or certainly I don't want to be put in Facebook jail. That's, you know, Patrick Henry's probably thinking that in the back of his mind, right? "Should I keep back my opinions at such time through fear of giving offense? I should consider myself as guilty of treason toward my country and of an act of disloyalty toward the majesty of heaven, which I revere above all earthly kings." Imagine that being stated on the floor at the Capitol today. Now, you can read his entire essay and address.
Bring out the guillotine.
I'm going to cut to the last paragraph here. And there's this text is so rich, so rich. "It is in vain, sir, to extenuate the matter. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. The war is actually begun. And can't you and I, folks, can't you and I actually say that as well? The war is actually begun. The war has been declared upon us, the conservative. This is not Patrick Henry, this is Doug. So the war has been declared on conservatives, on the free thinkers, on the contrarian point of view to those woke. Now I'm going back to Patrick Henry. I certainly don't want you to get the two confused. Eric's rolling on the floor over there. Yeah, that'll happen. The next gale that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Are we there yet? That's me now. Our brethren are already in the field. Yeah, meaning we're ready. Why stand we here idle? In other words, what the hell? Why are we doing anything? For the love of everything holy, why are we doing anything? That's me now. Why aren't we doing? What's it going to take? Another poke in the eye? Another poke in the chest? We've got this. We are patriotic Americans. We can win, and we will win for the sake of God, for the sake of our country, and for the sake of our children. We've got to win. We've got to emerge victorious. We've got to put down the globalist scumbaggery. And we will. They did it in Patrick Henry. Let me continue with Patrick Henry. Henry. What is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? In other words, what he's saying is, so I don't want, you know, because people don't want to wear masks, or because, you know, wearing masks, if you don't wear a mask, you get all kinds of crap thrown at you, and it's a big to-do, and it's a big scene. I'm not, so I'm going to go along to get along, and I'm going to show my virtue by wearing a mask, right? Oh, I know. You in the back row. You did that, right? I know. Or your wife or daughter or sister or brother, uncle. You know, I get it. Masks don't work, but I want to wear one because, you know, I don't really want to get into it. I'll pick the hill I'm going to die on, and it's not this one. Well, when the heck is it? What hill? If you are going to wear a mask to show your submission, then what hill are you going to die on? Perhaps literally. But again, I digress. But this is what Patrick Henry is saying, right? He's saying, hey, you know what? What are we waiting for? I look around, we got guns. We got muskets. We got guns. We got ammo. We got people saying, yeah, let's do it. We got, I'll tell you what, Patrick Henry, we've got message boards on the internet of patriots ready to go. They're saying, yeah, bring it. And they're typing, bring it. We got God on our side. We got the Constitution. We can do this. As Patrick Henry types, right before the session of Congress, he's sending out emails and all this stuff.
Tie it to the dove.
Did I hear you right?
Yep.
Tie. Okay. Let me continue. But I want to repeat that last sentence. If life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chain, is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Oh, that one sentence right there, isn't that reflective of today? And he says, forbid it, Almighty God, forbid it, Almighty God. Wow. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. Now the difference, what a difference a few years make, right? I should do the math on that. So what is that math? 2021 minus 1775. Somebody help me with the math. What is it? 246 years? Does that sound right? Yeah, that sounds right. So that was 246 years ago. And forgive me if I'm wrong. 246 years ago today, where Patrick Henry came out and said this. Now, you know, it's one thing to say it. It's one thing to post it on the message board. It's one thing to email it to someone. It's totally something else to actually say, you know what? We're going to do this thing. What are we waiting for? Forbid it, Almighty God, beseeching God in heaven and saying this is a righteous cause. And folks, it'll be in this link to this, and you can search it out yourself, but I'll put a link in the program description box. This is what this is all about, isn't it? We have to say, you know what? I'm standing up. And the reason I wanted to start out with this, I actually didn't, but I wanted to start out with this is to give people hope, because who was Patrick Henry anyway? What power did he have? Now, he had power back then. But nonetheless, any more than we have today, given the tools at our disposal? I don't think so. But the rousing, give me liberty or give me death, 246 years ago today, may God bless that man, and may God bless everyone who said, yeah, let's do it. Because I tell you right now, you know, you look at the shooting in Colorado by the Muslim male Ahmad Alawi al-Issa. I don't know the motive, but I'll tell you what, it's going to be exploited for gun control / confiscation. You look at the border, and people call it a crisis, but it's a crisis of the communist industrial syndicate. It's of their making, the globalist making, that we can fight because there's more of us than there are of them. And you might say, well, you know, we can't fight. I don't want to hear can't, because, hey, there is no try. There is only do, right? All right. Got off track here. So you saw Jen Psaki talking, the still image of Psaki about the board, you know, during her press conference. I'm going to show you this. I don't know how many people have seen this. People talk about what's going on at the southern border. It's coming to your town. The ramifications are coming to your town. But take a look at this video. This is video one in the HR. In video one, number one, this is the top one, Rio Grande. This is in Spanish, so you're not going to understand it. If you're listening to this on just by terrestrial radio, or by radio, satellite radio, you're not going to really get this. But this is down at the Rio Grande. Go ahead and play it. And this is an advisory that it contains disturbing images and video discretion is advised.
Jesús Vargas ha vivido junto al Río Grande toda su vida. Está acostumbrado a las tragedias en la frontera entre México y Estados Unidos, pero nunca vio nada como esto. Una mujer y dos adolescentes ahogándose ante la mirada de la patrulla fronteriza. ¿Sí?
For the radio listeners, and folks, I apologize for those watching this, but for the radio listeners, this is showing the Rio Grande and people swimming and drowning in the Rio Grande. This will change over to English, I think, or English overlay.
Después de que los agentes interceptaran una operación de tráfico de personas. Este es el trágico momento en el que ocurrieron los hechos.
Hang with me on the Spanish. Here we go.
You don't have life jacket, nothing? They're drowning these guys. The girl didn't come out no more. Call the boat, man. They're drowning. The girl didn't come out no more.
Those people drowning, like that thing is set for these people here.
All right.
Increíble, increíble.
Well,
inhumano. Mire usted. Las imágenes son... No se puede creer. No se puede creer que sean testigos de eso y no se hagan nada, ni el intento de salvar una vida. No importa dónde sean, es que se están muriendo, se están ahogando. Tan inhumano se puede llegar a ser. Bueno, después de que esta grabación se hiciera pública, Vargas ha recibido llamadas de varios lugares de Centroamérica con preguntas sobre los ahogados. En otra parte del video también se puede ver a las autoridades mexicanas.
All right, for the sake of time, you can cut that off. What you have there is these migrants who are listening to the call of the Biden, in quotation marks, residency, coming over from Mexico, crossing the Rio Grande, not making it, drowning in the process. This didn't happen with the frequency that is happening with President Trump in there, with his policies. And now Biden wants to say, Biden was quoted as saying, okay, we're going to change back. But the way he said it, he did not say we're going to go back to the President Trump policies. He said it in kind of a left-handed way, sort of way. But you get the idea. He realizes that this is, and the only reason he's doing this is because it looks bad. It's politically harmful. And again, this is not Biden. Anytime I say Biden, understand this. I'm not talking about Biden, Mr. Potato Head, because he, no, I'm not talking about Biden, Mr. Potato Head. Maybe Joe Biden, maybe Barack Hussein Obama, who really had no affinity toward Biden, but understands that, you know, he's a empty vessel and can use Biden to his advantage. So it's really all about Obama. All right. So we had the Breitbart border story you showed. The second link, the Psaki video from the Breitbart page, if we can go to that one. This, again, this focuses on the border. And I don't know if this is the one that it's got her being called to task. But she was, a reporter said, hey, you know, what's going on here? You're not, you know, this is out of control. And of course, Psaki just, remember the P in, her name, last name is silent, just like the P in resident Joe Biden. All right. Well, you know what? I think we covered that enough for the sake of time. All right. So you've got that. And again, the Colorado shooting. There's two elements or two aspects to this, two facets to this. One, of course, being the current globalist idea about Syria, this guy being Syrian. Was that a motive? I don't know. How about the gun legislation? I find the timing in Boulder, you know, really saying no, and we can't regulate, magazine sizes and weapons and stuff. And judge ruling that, and then all of a sudden you've got this. Look, I find the timing very curious. I find the circumstances very curious. And you know what else I find curious? I find very curious if you look at the way the media is treating that versus the way, massage parlor shootings. If you look at the difference in how the media is treating these two events, it kind of tells a story in and of itself. So just kind of watch how the media, the corporate media, the lion media, how they handle it, and the print, lying print media handles this story versus, we'll say, again, the anti-Asian. But above all of that, how many people are going to be talking about the shootings in Chicago over the weekend, the shootings in New York, you know, all of these other gun crimes whose body counts far surpass anything we're seeing in any one situation like this? You don't hear about that, do you? Well, no, in Chicago it's because guns are brought in from Indiana. Okay. You know, I've got this idea. Instead of banning and confiscating guns, why don't we make, here's an idea. Why don't we make a law against killing other people? How come no one's ever thought of that? Oh. So laws do work then, right? Okay. All right. Now, yesterday I was engaged in something I'm not going to get into too heavily right now, but the work Russ Dizdar does, the work Craig Sawyer does, is absolutely valuable. Russ is having a conference or a training session. If you go to CoachDaveAlive.com, I don't know if we have that image. There it is right there. Folks, here's just from yesterday, while Eric the Tech was out getting 65-year-old sturgeons. Yeah, there's a joke behind that. At the depths of the lake. Expelling the Darkness training session. Folks, you need to sign up for this. If you can make a difference. You can make a huge difference in what's going on there, or what's going on right now. Go to CoachDaveLive.com, Expelling the Darkness training session with Russ Dizdar. I'm telling you right now, there's two people I look up to, actually three, but two in the realm of fighting the sex trafficking pedophilia that does relate to the southern border. It pretty much relates to the global industrial scale crime syndicate trafficking elite. This is important. And I'm not sure how much time we have, but I'd like if we can do the banned video from Child Predators from, I think it's Alex Jones. All right. We have 15? Yeah. All right. My, how time flies. Right, folks? Did you miss me yesterday?
I've got. 5 minutes.
5 minutes. Well, let's play this because this kind of this is important. Remember people who said, "Oh, Pizzagate's not real," about Pizzagate. All right, it was woefully misrepresented. But look at what's going on with Epstein. We can't release this information. It's just too impure. Look what's going on with Ghislaine Maxwell. Look at what's going on. And there's another element here. Real quick, I want to tell you about. There are people out there on the internet who are misrepresenting. I know what Russ does. I know what Craig Sawyer does. And I know that both of them have organizations that rescue and actually do child rescue. And there are organizations on the internet who say that they do child rescue, and it's just not. No, what ends up happening is they dilute the efforts of people like Russ and Craig Sawyer and even myself. Okay. So, CoachDaveLive.com, go there, Expelling the Darkness training session. You need to go there if you're within a day's drive of where that's at in Ohio, just outside of Columbus. You really need to be there because Russ will give you the down and dirty of what's really going on. And again, this does kind of dovetail from what I was doing yesterday, the reason we didn't have a show yesterday because I mistook the time, and that gave Eric a chance to go fishing. Anyway. This is Alex Jones I think it's Alex, or maybe not. Well, let's play it, and we'll all be surprised. This is about the child predator industry.
Big Judge up in Wisconsin, former president of Drag Queen Story Hour, that's the Pedophile Story Hour Foundation, and children's court judge, a children's court judge, my, arrested on 7 counts of child porn.
Milwaukee County Judge Brett Blumey's Instagram page is filled with personal and professional highlights on his way to the judiciary. But after a search in Cottage Grove of one of his two homes and his arrest, authorities say his computer activity on the app Kick links him to child porn, with uploaded images and videos consistent with child pornography through the Kick app on 27 occasions last fall.
Judge Blumley, are you going to resign? What would you like to say to the voters who put you on the bench?
Judge Blumley has been on Milwaukee County Circuit Court bench since August. His assignment, Children's Court. As a bond condition, he's now banned by a court of having unsupervised contact with minors.
It's a club. It's a guild. It's an army. It's a force. And just like at Penn State, you had Jerry Sandusky supplying children through the Abused Children Foundation to famous people that would come into town and, quote, the 9 and 10, 11-year-old children would stay with the celebrities in their own little cottages. Yes.
Former Penn State assistant football coach is charged with sexually abusing 10 boys over a 15-year period, faces 52 counts.
The report details accusations that Sandusky would take his hands and place them on their thighs as they were driving in the car, that he would tickle them and blow on their stomachs at bedtime, would shower naked with them, and would rape them.
The jurors finally listening to the interview Jerry Sandusky gave right after he was arrested, when he admitted to horsing around and showering with boys. This from NBC.
I have horsed around with kids. I have showered after workouts. I have hugged them, and I have touched their leg without intent of sexual contact.
I have hundreds of articles.
Pause that just for a second. I want to tell you, and you just keep that screen up. I want to tell you something, all right? Russ Dizdar has done so much, and I've seen this. I've seen the investigative work product. I've seen the touching of lives that he has done for the victims of these monsters. And I thank him, and I hope everyone can support him and support his work, because it's real, but it's bigger than you can even imagine. So when you look at the border, this is a golden thread that runs through the border crisis, in quotation. Okay, this has a lot to do with the border. Okay, continue.
Drag queen story time leaders being busted, kidnapping children, raping children. A lot of them have child rape convictions, 3-year-olds, 5-year-olds, 6-year-olds.
Albert Garza, a registered sex offender, was among those participating. He served time for aggravated sexual assault of an 8-year-old in 2008. The system admitted on Friday it did not conduct a background check on Garza as policy dictates. We've learned that part of the issue was that Garza listed his name as Nikki Salazar when volunteering and did not provide a birth date or social security number. It slipped through the cracks, and he read to children 3 times.
And a surprising number of them are family court judges. Family court judges. Isn't that just interesting? Oh, he was also the leader of Wisconsin's LGBTQP, literally P, society. And all over the place, the leaders of the LGBT movements keep getting arrested for having sex with 10-year-olds and 11-year-olds. Because the truth is, it wasn't about gay marriage. It was always about sex with your children, because it's a satanic ritual to drain off their energy, to drain off their innocence, and drain off their future. The only thing they like better is chopping your children up with a meat cleaver while they rape them. And I'm sorry to have to tell you that, but that's what the big boys do.
All right. That last sentence there, that's not hyperbole. You might think it's hyperbole. You might think it's fake. You might think it's an overstatement. It's not. I wish, well, I don't wish. I, I can't show you photographs, crime scene photos. Russ probably can't. I don't know. Russ has got some things for that training session. I think it's important. Crime scene photos that made police officers say, "What? What is this?" Yeah. So what I'm saying is, you know, there are people out there, there are organizations, groups, again, Russ Dizdar. This is not a commercial for him, but I'm telling you what he's doing. We are together and independently. We're working to eradicate this scourge. And there are still some good investigative police officers, you know, detectives left that are doing things. You saw Sandusky. That was a high profile case. That relates to it has tentacles into a missing assistant DA here in Pennsylvania from a while ago. It also has tentacles into what is known as Pizzagate. Of course, that's debunked, right? That's all about a pizza shop with no basement. No, it's not. Sadly, the name misrepresents what it's about. But in Craig Sawyer, that's for Child Rescue, who doesn't suffer fools lightly. He's, you know, he doesn't like staged crime scenes, or doesn't like crime scenes that are manufactured by other organizations or people just to draw attention to themselves. That's why we don't put a lot of stuff out, okay? Because it's just, first of all, you couldn't stomach it. The people, oh, never mind. All right. You might say, well, okay, what's all this have to do with, you know, the current events? Well, this is the driving ideological force and the almost a theological, in its truest sense of the word, force behind what's taking place today. The last video, how does this connect to what we're seeing today? Well, you remember that last sentence. And there's a lot of real estate in between that last sentence and what you're about to see. But take a look at this report. The age of genetically modified humans has arrived. All right. This is on source of this is band.video. It'll be in the program description box at HagmanReport.com. But take a look at this and open your mind, and you'll get this, I think. I know you will. I know our audience, core audience, will get this. But this is what we must fight against. And you know, these experimental gene therapy stuff known as vaccines, keep that in the back of your mind, too, as you watch this. Go ahead and play it if you got it ready.
Johns Hopkins Center for Health Security, a think tank started 23 years ago in 1998, has conducted dozens of exercises on simulated pandemics and bioweapons attacks, including Operation Dark Winter in 2001, where one of the main objectives was how to force vaccinate an uncooperative population. Atlantic Storm in 2005 addressed the logistics of mass vaccinations and military quarantines. Clade X in 2018 pushed for radical fast-tracking of vaccine production. Crimson Contagion was a massive exercise launched in January of 2019. It involved scores of organizations, public and private, from both the federal and state level. Crimson Contagion lasted for over half a year and was based on a severe pandemic that originated in China. On October 18th of 2019, John Hopkins partnered with the World Economic Forum and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to sponsor Event 201, a simulation wherein an outbreak of a bat coronavirus kills 65 million people. The culmination of all these studies was published in November of 2019. The CSIS Commission on Strengthening America's Health Security urges the U.S. government to, quote, replace the cycle of crisis and complacency that has long plagued health security preparedness with a doctrine of continuous prevention, protection, and resilience. In other words, they're calling for the medical tyranny we are now seeing manifest around us. Signed by former military, big pharma, and U.S. representatives, the CSIS document calls for continuous rapid vaccines, while also warning that the vaccines may go wrong and start spreading more disease. And on that subject, what disease are we talking about? After a year of COVID-19, the numbers show us it is no more deadly than the common cold. And even the WHO admit that all the PCR tests from 2020 are meaningless. And they had the vaccine before the mysterious outbreak ever occurred. The agenda is now clearly about endless vaccinations for everyone. New mRNA vaccines that have never gone through human testing until now. The same controversial technology as the CRISPR tech, wherein one can easily splice human DNA and permanently modify it. They say the possibilities are endless.
So now we can target nearly any sequence in our own genetic code at will.
Jennifer Doudna, who won the Nobel Prize for CRISPR, tried calling for a worldwide moratorium on any clinical application of gene editing using CRISPR. But no one seemed to care. Not only does there seem to be zero regulation, but anyone can cheaply buy and learn what they need to online to permanently change the genome in practically any living creature.
Josiah Zahner, coming straight to you from my garage lab, and I want to talk to you about how to genetically engineer a human being.
The mRNA vaccine is based on CRISPR technology. China recently used CRISPR tech to genetically modify babies to be immune to HIV, and as a result, lessened their lifespans. Just like CSIS warned, it all may go wrong. And when it does, Big Pharma et al. Is free from any and all liability. The solution will be more gene-altering vaccinations until they finally get it right. Or not. Eventually, and certainly sooner rather than later, an unaltered natural human body will be considered a biohazard, and full control over the human genome will become the new normal. Without argument, we are now in the era of genetically modified humans, and while millions are gleefully lining up to get their experimental gene editing jab, others are being tagged like chattel. Vaccine passports, vaccine certificates, and freedom bracelets, made by the same company that specializes in prison monitoring bracelets. And now we have a new think tank simulation, the SPARS pandemic, another outbreak and another vaccine, with warnings of the anti-vaccination movement. And don't forget the Rockefeller Foundation's scenarios for the future of technology and international development, Lockstep, wherein they illustrate plans to use pandemics and big pharma to usher in a world of tighter, top-down government control and more authoritarian leadership. Get ready for the next round, because without any opposition, this thing keeps going straight into the abyss. For InfoWars.com, this is Greg Reese.
Thank you, Greg Reese. And you might think, well, wait a second. What does this have to do with what you were talking about? What does this have to do with the border? What does this have to do with the shooting in Colorado? What does this have to do with gun control or HR1 or insert headline here? Folks, it's all about, and it's always been about control. It's not about your safety. It's not about your health. It's about control. Allow me to, I was supposed to start with this, go back and say, you know, the war is actually begun. The next gate that sweeps from the north will bring to our ears the clash of resounding arms. Our brethren are ready in the field. Why stand we here idle? Why aren't we doing anything? What is that gentleman, what is it that gentlemen wish? What would they have? Is life so dear or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery? Forbid it, Almighty God. By the way, small g gods all through that, right? Small g gods all through that golden thread of satanic ritual abuse, of killing babies. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but for me, give me liberty or give me death. That's 246 years ago today, Patrick Henry. Where are the statesmen of today? Where are the doers of today? Where are the patriots of today? And you know what? One last image before we bring Standale on. Eric the Tech, I don't know if you can grab this. This is the Pentagon. Pentagon tweet or the tweet about the Pentagon. It's the last one, I believe, on the HR. There it is right there. Folks, I want you to take a look at this. This, the credit, of course, you can see who it is on the top. Marina Medvin. Okay. Wrote this. Pentagon training materials now target conservatives and state that service members have a duty to reject ideas related to President Trump. And if they don't, the full range of administrative and disciplinary actions await, including being discharged. Read the Pentagon training materials targeting conservatives in the military. Folks, I say to you, the war is actually begun. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death. 246 years ago today, all of this is connected to the industrial scale crime globalist communist syndicate whose lifeblood is that of the unborn and the trafficked children, whose lifeblood is the oppression of the conservative patriot, of the Christian conservative, the enemies of the communist takeover of this country. If it's Tuesday, it's Tuesdays with Stan. Stan Dale from standale.com. I'll tell you, a hardworking guy. Him and Holly, they put up a lot of information, both on the show images page. If you go to standale.com, click on the show images page. There you can follow along with us in living color, as well as Holly's headlines. I should start calling them Holly's hot headlines. Not just hot headlines, but Holly's hot headlines.
See what today is?
Ah, folks, National Puppy Day. National Puppy Day. You can't get any better than that. National Puppy Day. Now that makes me smile. Thank you, Holly, for pointing that out. Stan Dale from standale.com. EMP Shield. If you don't have one of these, you need to get one because, well, you just do. Protect your equipment in the event of an EMP, whether it's sun-caused or man-caused or caused by me plugging in the toaster in the wrong outlet. I don't know, but you need one. EMPShield.com. Use the promo code Hagmann, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. Use that promo code. That's right. Use that promo code for $50 off. Wait a second. Per product up to $80 off. Look at that. Look at that. Go to HagmannReport.com. Folks, listen to this and not view it, and you can see it on your screen right there. We're showing it, so it has to be true, right? There it is. EMPShield.com, code Hagmann, $50 off. Plus, COVID relief, ultimate sale. Huh. Can't beat that with a stick. Stan Dale, how are you, sir?
I'm fine. Have Eric take a look at the photo of the day on our site, standio.com, speaking of EMP shields. Put it up, Eric. Go over to standio.com, photo of the day.
Photo of the day.
We're waiting.
He's getting there. Stand by. He's only got two hands and 2 feet, and he's using them both.
Well, that's sad.
Look at you.
Actually, get my hands dirty.
Now, let me guess what you're doing. You're putting an EMP shield. You're installing one on a motor vehicle. Is that right?
That's it.
All right.
I've even got my official EMP shield hat on.
Available at standio.com for $19.99 plus shipping and handling and tax. All right. No, I'm kidding, of course, but look at that.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Well, I was just telling you, it's the time. I mean, I've been putting them on various things, you know, around the place in our house, but I'd left one of the vehicles unattended. So that was, probably a week ago. I was getting in there and getting that one done.
Now, do I need one of these on my 1976, Rolls Royce Silver Shadow, or is that covered? 1976. I'm joking, folks. Don't say, oh, you got a Rolls Royce. No, I don't.
Does it have the original umbrella built into the door?
Do they have those?
Yeah.
Wow.
Aren't the umbrellas built into the Rolls Royce?
How would I know? I've never been in a Rolls Royce in my life.
Well, that sounds like something from, James Bond movie or... what was it? The Avengers or something like that. I forget the.
Oh, that's right. I remember. Yeah.
One of them used a umbrella as a cane type thing and, you know, it had a kind of a bobbin hat and.
Patrick, what was
it? Yes.
Somebody. Yeah. That's, well, okay. No, for the majority of the population, you need to protect your stuff, including your vehicles, boats, vehicles, car, you know, everything. So that's great.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And to business here. There's a few things to talk about today.
Before you do, how long did that take you?
Yeah.
What's that?
How long did that take you to put, you know, to connect the wire, do all that stuff?
Oh, probably about 15 minutes because I had to move some things around to get a place to adhere the unit to the car so that it wouldn't vibrate or anything. So I had to remove a few braces over the battery and stuff, you know, with a wrench and then put it all back together. But, you know, in the larger cars, it's easy. There's plenty of places to put it onto the frame or around the battery. And the leads are so long that, you know, I had probably several feet that were coiled up on the side there that I didn't use. You can be on one side of the car, you know, of the engine compartment and go put your EMP shield on the other side and you still got, you know, runs to the battery and stuff. So it was easy.
For those who don't know, does that connect to the frame of the car or does that connect to something outside of the vehicle? And then every time you use the car, you got to disconnect and.
No. The EMP shield has three wires on it. A green one, which you hook to some nut, a screw or bolt on your frame. They're all over the engine compartment around the edge of it. And you just unscrew one of them and put the lead in there. It's got a nice round hole piece of metal that you can lock it in. And then the red wire goes to the red wire on the battery and the black wire goes to the black wire. And then you shove the actual unit itself, you know, somewhere convenient to lock it into place and not be getting too hot from the engine. And that's it.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, even I can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. We can do it. And we have done it. As evidenced by the image there. Okay. All right, sir. The floor is yours.
Okay. There, I heard you talking a bit about Patrick Henry, and boy, that speech was really, really germane to today and the situation we face. A kind of a blueprint for what is happening now was what occurred, you know, at the storming of Rome by the Goth, you know, the barbarians of the north. What they did was they took women and children along the way as the barbarians moved toward Rome, and they shoved, you know, masses of civilians, you know, with babies, whatever, toward the gates of Rome and make them, that made them go in and become, you know, the wards of Rome, which of course overtaxed Rome, you know, a lot. And then behind them, once they'd done that, and they'd kind of created turmoil and resources demands on Rome, the capital there, then they marched in with their soldiers and took over Rome, and that was the fall of Rome. And what do we have now? We have the hordes of women and children and stuff being pushed at the gate, but behind them come the soldiers. And behind them doesn't necessarily mean through Mexico. It might be through Canada. It might be through the coastal waters, by the air, whatever. But believe me, the barbarians are at the gate and about to burst in. We're there. Yeah.
Indeed we are.
It's slide 47. And look, I apologize for the froggy throat. We've had a lot of pollen here. 11.4.
It's almost maxed out on the scale.
It's almost maxed out, yeah, on the scale, Holly said. And it's just been, you know, hitting my throat and Holly's eyes, and we're bag of misery here. But anyway, I've taken all the right things, you know, honey and lemon and Hagman in my Hagman cup here.
Well, look at you. I gotta send you a new one. I got stuff for you. Okay.
Hey, yeah, okay. But anyway, so, all right, now, having said that, in slide 47 on our show images page, says Iran planning to bomb U.S. Army base in Washington. Now, you know, if you look at the article, that's really what they're trying to do it from the water. They're going to, you know, have something that gets along the river there and attack, they say. If you read through the article, see what they're talking about. And they intend to take out that base, which has a lot of our military leaders and stuff housed there. And when you see in the article, it says a USS Cole style attack, they pulled up a small vehicle next to a large, you know, battleship and blew holes in it. Well, somehow they're planning to get on the water or under the water and hit this facility. And we've known about this, you know, for probably, the government has since about January that they're trying to do that. And this is part of the legacy of Qasem Soleimani, General Soleimani, of course, who President Trump dispatched. You know, got rid of. And of course, Iran has been upset about that since then and pledging revenge. Now, Soleimani, when he was alive, was able to get a personal letter into the Department of Defense to the head of the Defense Department on his desk. No one knew how it got there, but he could reach out and touch him that way. So there were obviously people inside the Pentagon who could help Soleimani. So there are people like that still in play, I'm sure, in our military circles and in our government circles. So when they say they're going to do it and that it will be, you know, a sudden surprise, believe them, they're going to hit us. Of course, when they do, all heck's going to break loose in the country, you have martial law and everything else, trying to find the baddies. But this is about to happen. So keep an eye on the base there in Washington, all the right. National College. Yeah.
And, you know, Biden was schooled by the Chinese, by Putin, by the Chinese, Blinken and so on. I mean, this is so, the weakness of this current regime, I won't even call it an administration, is so apparent. And the fact that they could actually say, you know, we're going to do this. Because, I mean, it's this country, people are laughing at us. Other countries are laughing at us. They're laughing. They know Biden is a sock puppet, you know? And also Biden-Harris administration as opposed to Biden. But yeah, so we have reason to, I think, fear an attack of this nature. And you're exactly right. So thank you for that.
Yeah, on Biden, you know, and Obama, there's an article. I don't have it on the show images page, but I saw it a while ago in the Daily Wire. And it says that Biden is in regular contact with Obama to consult and talk about a range of issues. I think that was Jen.
That's our top story on our site.
Okay. All right. Well, Holly says it's on our site, top story. USA top story, Biden, regular contact. You can click on that and see that. This is spooky when you think that we're giving Obama a third term by proxy. Anyway, even Obama's not going to pull America back together again. We're in trouble.
I really think that that's misleading because I think in that article, is this the one I'm thinking of? If you scroll down, I think the op-ed portion, there were an op-ed article about this, and I don't know where I saw this. It could have been American Thinker, could have been somewhere else. Obama, when Biden was number two in the Obama regime as well, he didn't like Biden. I mean, he didn't care for Biden. He would, you know, so to think that Biden is tapping Obama for a wide range of things, to me is misleading at best. I think it's disingenuous and I think it's deliberately deceptive because I think behind the scenes is Obama and those above Obama that are running things. But that's just my idea. But you're right. That's an important idea. That's an important article.
Yeah, I agree with you completely because Biden, you know, who's slipped three times on Air Force One steps and who can't put, you know, two sentences together without somebody giving him a cue card, you know, Obama wouldn't be telling him this stuff. Obama would be telling his minders, you know, Biden's minders. As you say, part of the elite, you know, deep state is Obama and his minions. And they would then, you know, have Biden say various things if necessary. But otherwise, behind the scenes, the policies that Obama and the deep state are wanting to issue are being done very quietly. Holly was looking at the 80 some odd executive orders that Biden's, you know, signed. Some of them aren't even in really executive orders. They're just suggestions. You read them, the wording of them is very weird. But, you know, there's just nothing being done properly in this Biden administration. And certainly Kamala Harris is going to be brought to the forefront here shortly. We knew that from the start that would be the game. And then with her, there would have to be an appointment of someone to assist her to be, you know, a new vice president. Who that would be is anybody's guess. But I don't even know legally if Obama could even be a vice president. But anyway.
Well, who cares anymore? Harris is not constitutionally eligible to be vice president. And certainly not constitutionally eligible to be president based on the natural born citizen clause. And people might say, well, that's litigated or that's, you know, beside the point. We had Obama. The Constitution is thrown out the window as far as I'm concerned in cases like this. People can't comprehend what's going on here. And, you know, it's just, or they've got normalcy bias or cognitive dissonance or all of the above or who the hell knows. But yeah, I just, man, sorry. I went off there.
Yeah, it's easy to do with a situation like it is. I mean, the border situation is an absolute joke. And you know, we're about ready to explode. I'm watching for the catalyst that will make, you know, the conservative movement or the ultra conservatives do something or, you know, some of the racial facility, you know, like gangs and stuff do things. Right now, we've got so many drug lords in the country and their organizations that it's anybody's guess what will start it. Drug lord war, civil war, you know, we've been expecting this. But the catalyst is about ready to show whatever it's going to be. we have so many things. Look at slide 50 with Rouhani, whoever he is over there. In Iran, Western officials fear Iran hiding equipment it could use to build a nuke. Well, duh. I'm sure they're very clever about what they're doing because Israel has taken out some of their more obvious sites that had parts above ground, and thermal imaging picked them up and they destroyed them. But now they've got equipment hidden somewhere, somebody thinks, and maybe it's in the civilian areas so that it's hidden well. More centrifuges and stuff to make their weapons. So they're getting ready to use a nuke. Probably the first one will be on Israel, or at least they will try to do a hit on Israel. So the propensity for war starting in the Middle East is really high there. If you go down to slide 43 and down in the text after the word and in white, click civil wars. And I've listed there some of today's news about various wars. China China's military must spend more to meet U.S. war threat. World War III warning, China chilling threat to U.S. as Biden told he's playing with fire. Foes in Afghan war see a common threat of Islamic State return. Ethiopia doesn't want war with Sudan. You know, you can, and the Saudis and the Yemenis. And you just go down the list and see that the Syrian war. These things are telling us that we've got war in all kinds of places. And it's just one of the plagues that we need to be aware of. And if you click in slide 43 on the seven plagues, there, a guy has written a book, The Seven Plagues That Are Hitting the Planet. He's listed some, but there are more. He's got a plague of millions of rats in Australia. We know about that, rats and mice. In fact, I've been down there years ago in a mouse plague. And, you know, you want to tie your jeans tight so they can't come up your trousers and stuff. They're just jumping, you know, like 2 or 3 feet in the air and just like a running river mice. They're incredible. Yeah. Anyway, flooding down there has also released a lot of snakes and nasties floating near Sydney. Large earthquakes are increasing, volcanoes all over the planet. I'll talk about that in a minute. We had a mega drought here in the Southwest. That's local, not planetary, but it's going to hit the planet. Locusts in Africa and Middle East. Bird flu in Russia. COVID pandemic, well, we're familiar with that. So he's written a book about it, and that's in his book. But it's something that I've been expecting. I talked about 1978 and the Cosmic Conspiracy and many lectures after that, that we've seen, you know, mice and rat plagues and earthquakes and drought and that kind of stuff in individual or maybe a couple of those plagues hitting at the same time on the planet somewhere over the centuries. But now all of them are coming to a head together. We're having, you know, drought, and we're having attendant famine in some of the third world countries. We're having these plagues of, you know, rats and mice and locusts, all that kind of stuff. And we're having an economic crisis, which the Bible didn't particularly mention, I guess, but we're about to look at a global financial collapse, which, you know, I've got up there on the site. I'll talk to you about that in a minute. But the threat of war, you know, we have the wars and rumors of wars, but we've got the threat of one really big, or maybe two really big wars between the United States and China, Russia, and Iran. Believe it or not, Iran is a real threat to us. So all these things coming together is something that we need to take heed about, because it tells us the great tribulation, the great readjustment of this planet, God's will, is about to happen. And it's right on the doorstep. Excuse me.
Thank you, Jimmy Carter. Can I say that?
Oh, the peanut farmer.
Yeah. Iran, you know, the America held hostage. What was it? Ted Koppel? Was it Ted Koppel or whoever? It doesn't matter. But you get the idea, folks. Okay,
yeah.
There it is, you know.
Yeah. Earthquakes. Look at 44, slide 44. Click on the picture. This is the last 7 days on the planet. The biggest one was a 7.0 in Shinomaki, Japan. But the earthquakes, say from, I think this is from Richter 4 plus, there's about 180 earthquakes this week. It's been higher, but it does tell you where we need to look for things like volcano eruptions. You can see over on the right side of the map where Italy is. Yeah. There's a few quakes around Italy. They're associated with Mount Etna erupting or starting to erupt. In Iceland, up in the top, you see a little island there, but I've got some pictures of that in a minute. I'll show you of the erupting magma. It's signaling a huge increase in volcanoes all over Iceland, which is on a tectonic plate border between you know, the United States and Europe. Up high there, you can see it. All right. Earthquakes are, you know, increasing, and they're increasing in diverse places around volcanic activity, I'm pretty sure. If you click on the slide 45, there's some interesting shots here. The one in Iceland, I don't know how to pronounce it. They probably say I messed it up, but it's Reykjanes Peninsula anyway. It's peninsula you can see down in the third picture there above the word Mount Etna. That's not Mount Etna, but it's a peninsula of Iceland, and the pictures of yellow and red and blue little globes there underneath the surface is looking close up underneath what that, yeah, okay. It's looking at the earthquakes in the last week or so underneath that volcano, which at the top slide you can see is happening. And the weird part about their volcanoes in Iceland is that they, for the most part, they do not erupt. They ooze lots and lots of lava, which of course goes down and covers property and resources. And so it's just as dangerous in another way, but they're expecting a great increase there in volcanoes in Iceland. You know, earthquakes, volcanoes. Mm-hmm. These things are happening.
Great frequency. Yeah. Great frequency, greater than it has been. I want to give your voice a rest there. I know it's rough. And Standeo.com, suffering from pollen poisoning. Of course, it's got to be above freezing in order for that to happen, I think. And, well, it's starting to get nice here, so at least we're not in a great way, a great tundra. But very interesting. And I've been reading about the various volcanoes and earthquakes, and, man, it's, yeah, it's we're there in diverse places. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, on our solar front, excuse me, slide 37, I wanted to show people what the Stereo A satellite looks like. If you click on that, click on the text or the picture, but the text takes you to the site. You'll see in the diagram of the what Stereo A satellite, where it's located, A is ahead of our orbit, looking back at us, and B is behind our orbit, looking back at where we've been, also looking at us. But anyway, Stereo A was looking at the Earth in the last 24 hours, watching a solar coronal mass ejection, a big one, erupt, and you could see that it was going to clip the Earth, which we're getting today, parts of it. And so if you look at slide 38, click on the picture, you'll see the timestamp there. This is the 22nd of March, starting on the left at about 7:23 a.m., going over to 1 o'clock in the afternoon. This huge coronal mass ejection erupted, and Earth's position would be kind of level, you know, like equatorial to all this, and to the right of that emerging pulse from the sun. If it had been more at us, things would have been a little bit more problematic here on the surface of the Earth, electronically and in many other ways with the satellites.
Tell you what, if that is not a testament for EMP shield, I don't know what is. Looking at that, that increases one's pucker factor tremendously.
Yeah, it does.
Shield, yeah. Mm.
And, you know, and we have the threat of asteroids coming too close, but probably the one that they were talking about over the last 3 or 4 days might have only been within 150,000 miles, but these are the ones that are cataloged that we can see and know about, but the others are going to be a surprise to us when we get to the period in the Revelation of John where one of them falls into the oceans and causes, you know, a third of the sea life to die and all kinds of stuff, poisoning the waters. I can't stress more to people listening to your show here that we're at a time, if you're a believer and born again, and you're comfortable in your skin with this, then it's time for you to get out to family members and friends and say, look, come over here and look at this show here and see these things happening. You know, they're filling Bible prophecy. It's not, you know, a funny story or, you know, make-believe. It is part of the prophetic history that God put into the Bible for now and after now even. So it's time to tell your friends and neighbors that are marginal, sitting on the fence, get off the fence. You don't have time left. I'm sure the rapture is going to come fairly soon, but I don't know exactly when. As I say, every Easter or Passover season, I look for the Lord's return in that time to gather the first fruits that they speak of in the ceremony. Anyway, we can't be slack. We've got to help our friends and neighbors who are marginal on the fence to be saved because we don't want them to go through what is coming. I'm sure they don't want it either if they know.
Man, I'll tell you what, it's, you know, yeah. And look, folks, I know, you know, the timing of the rapture, okay. Who cares? To me, God, I don't want to go through the tribulations, plural, coming. I don't want to go through any of that. I really don't. So here's what I hope. If you comment about this on Rumble, or I don't think you can on Brighteon, but on Rumble, you know, just look at the bigger picture here, folks. Okay, understand, the time is short. So instead of, you know, nitpicking about the timing of the rapture, do me a favor, look at the bigger picture and encourage your loved ones to get saved if they're not, and certainly spread the word of God and the message of God and show the people how late it is. I guess that's all I want to say. Because I see, every time it's mentioned, I see all kinds of people saying, well, it's this or that. You know, knock it off.
Yeah.
You know, look at the bigger picture. And seriously, I didn't get a memo on the timing. But you know, the time's short. That's for sure. There seems, and you know, all of this, I didn't tell you this weekend. I was just going through some old videos, to archive, making sure that our archive is complete. And there was I think 2015, 2014, 2015 video that I came across of your appearance. And, I should do this. If you compare your Earth Changes situation from then to now, you can actually see, the increase in earthquakes, volcanoes, seismic activity, sunspots, sun activity. It's really, it really kind of makes you sit up and take notice of how quickly things are happening, how much stuff is happening. I didn't mean to monopolize your time, but.
No. Well, thank you for that. I mean, like, even, you know, Holly and I and those like us that are keeping track of these things, I'm sure we're all feeling the same thing. The rapidity, and the closeness of these events is, you know, it's like Jesus said, it's like the birth pangs of a woman in labor. You know, the Braxton Hicks thing starting to, you know, you got a few minutes between contraction, then you get down to time to almost birth the baby. The events are happening just bang, bang, bang. And they're all going to line up like the Braxton Hicks do, in a woman. They line up for the final push. They all come together. And so these crises we're seeing are all going to come together. And on that, as far as another signal, the UFO situation, the release of the information is starting to become more mainstream. Look at slide 40. You have here, a story says U.S. has evidence of UFOs breaking the sound barrier without a sonic boom. Well, for me, that's a yawn. Okay, yeah, I know how that's done. And they say they exhibit anti-gravity properties. Oh, yeah, well, I know how that's done. And I've talked about it for years. I've even designed, you know, small models to show people how you can break the sound barrier without making a shockwave. And basically, it's a matter of you know, breaststroking through the environment and putting your bow wave behind you so that you never have to cause the curtain of inertial resistance in the air or water or whatever to close rapidly and make that boom. But this is just, you know, the last couple of days that they've been saying that we've got to find out about these UFOs that break the laws of physics, and they're trying to figure out, you know, how they can break the sound barrier. Well, you know, those of us in physics know that even breaking the speed of light barrier, I don't know what the equivalent of a sonic boom would be when you push through the light barrier, but using the same technique of this breaststroking, this curl ahead of the craft, it makes your speed through space and the things that you are hitting, the very small molecules that are in space and space itself, to curl behind you, and you can go many times faster than the speed of light. Star Trek stuff is not fiction. You can do it. And I know how you can do it and have illustrated it. So here we have these people officially in the government saying, we just don't know. These things are such a strange thing. You know, how can these UFOs exhibit all these strange flight characteristics and suddenly be at standstill and then zip, clear up into orbit before you can blink your eyes? Again, all things that, well, I'm familiar with it because I worked on the project, but I mean, all things that physicists could understand looking at what's called inertial physics, you know.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I sent John Radcliffe, you know, your show page, your show images page information and the link to it and saying, hey, you know, call Stan. He'll explain this whole thing to you. And so do you think people like, this is just a kind of a silly question, but do you think people like Radcliffe know the real story and they're just kind of, you know, sandbagging it? Or do you think that Radcliffe's in the dark saying, oh man, you know, this is interesting. I mean,
well, like, I don't know, Robert. It really depends upon how much was revealed to President Trump and Radcliffe during their time together. Mm. I do know that the long game in the deep state is to be forced, allegedly, by the people of Earth to release all the information they've got to tell us about alien presence, which, you know, was part of the long-term plan anyway, to set up a new world government. And so I don't know whether Radcliffe or, you know, Biden's people, I don't know whether they will deviate from that plan. They will just slowly release this information, maybe rapidly because things are happening quickly, and we'll have an alien presence already on the planet, which will make a national or international revelation of their presence over major cities and countries and whatever. And it'll be on then for Earth saying, look, we've got all these crisis curves, these plagues and whatever, economic asteroid impacts, you know, climate change. We need help. And when the people of Earth are at that point, they will welcome this new world order with technology to help mankind. And there will be no track record with these quote-unquote aliens, who are really fallen ones from the heavens, but still no track record, no religious or political track. And they will apparently come to help and appoint and support a new world leader and his organization to bring peace to the Earth, which may happen for a month or two or a year until things start to go bad. But
okay. Ooh, I'm raising my hand. No, I don't have to go to the bathroom.
Teacher, pick me.
You know what? That just reminded me. I think
welcome back, Connor.
Sorry about that. When I was in first grade, this just reminded me. I think if somebody had to go to the bathroom, I think you had to hold your thumb in your, and raise your hand like that. Boy, that was like 50 years. Anyway, this just reminded me. I got an email over the weekend and I didn't send it to you. This is from, I know her name, first name Patricia, and I know that she's from South Carolina, and she wanted me to ask you, or forward the email to you, which I didn't do. She wanted me to ask you, you know, in your talk of the Antichrist, is it possible that the Antichrist could actually be, because you have got all the images, the Antichrist images and possibilities and such. Could that Antichrist be someone not from this planet yet? That's the essence of her question. And I said, yeah, I'll ask you. And so I figure, okay. I just remember.
I have wondered about that because those guys that I've got on the possibility list are all humans, and I've wondered about the most likely one, which is Mohammed bin Salman. People like me saying, "Oh, he could be the Antichrist. Look at all the characteristics he has." But then the aliens come and they have a guy that is, you know, with no track record, no political bias. That could be somebody that they've groomed and raised, you know, in their confines somewhere. And he comes in and says, look, the Antichrist of this age is Mohammed bin Salman. I'm going to get rid of him. Bang, he's gone. And everybody would go, wow. And in the Christian community, those that are kind of vaguely aware of the prophecies of the Antichrist and that stuff will say, oh, wow, look, the bad guy's been killed. You know, it could be, Patricia. It's a good question. It's one I've thought about many times, but we'll wait. Hopefully I'm not here to see it, but if we are, that's a possibility.
Hmm. All right. Well, Patricia, if you're listening and watching, there you go. And if not, hey, sorry. All right. So teacher, listen and watch next time. Okay. Thank you for answering that question. I forgot about that, and I made a mental note to ask you today. Okay.
Hmm. Well, fair enough. Now it's done. And you don't have to bounce in your seat anymore.
Slide 46. That's so much fun.
Yeah, I know. It adds a bit of joy. Let's see. Okay. slide 46. You know, we've been wondering when they're going to build the third temple and how they're going to get over the issue on the Temple Mount with the Dome of the Rock and all that other stuff. An article just came out in the Israel News earlier today. Police had hints at biblical promise of Shiloh's messianic future. Now, what this means is there was Likud, that's one of the parties in Israel, Likud, MK member. He went to visit the ancient site of Shiloh, where the tabernacle in the wilderness stood for almost 400 years. In his political speech, he raised praise of the future of the site seemed to be a direct reference to the prophetic lessons of Jacob that revealed secrets of the final redemption. So in other words, he's opening the door to the fact that there's nobody, you know, Arabs or Muslims or whatever, claiming Shiloh as, you know, their place, their temple, that they might rebuild the temple of the wilderness, the one with posts around it and, you know, not a building, but they could make a building, but they could build that third temple in either the wilderness form or the building form in Shiloh. And if you go back to that slide and click on the picture itself, I'll show you where Jerusalem is and where Shiloh is. I must say that seeing Shiloh at the top of the map there, it might be a trick for people to go and do your temple.
There it is right there. There it is right there. Wow. Okay.
You say so that's only, yeah, go on.
No, I just want to, folks, if you're having to squint on the screen, that white teardrop is Shiloh. Okay, just so for your...
That's about 25 miles from Jerusalem to the north, up in the mountains. And I think it was probably close to where Israel, you know, in the Exodus, crossed over the Jordan and were in the Promised Land for the first time. They made a shrine or, you know, an altar to God just after they crossed the Jordan River, and then they moved inland here to where that white spot is, which you can zoom up on the map if you click on it. And that's where the Temple of the Wilderness was up for 400 years. Anyway, that's good.
Okay. Wow. Hmm.
So they say. I mean, I don't know why they use that Shiloh point. I thought it was down near Jericho, but, you know, I'm not going to quibble.
Wow. Nonetheless, you're just adding on to what you were saying before about the shows ago about, you know, the authenticity or the proving the Bible, proving the historical accuracy of the Bible. So that's good.
Well, it's another one of those things to watch. I'm trying to keep a very open mind. You know, about, you know, Antichrist or the temple worship and various other things. It may not happen based on what current events and situations tell us. Okay, I didn't know about the Shiloh thing being a possibility for a temple, you know, to be built. So now my mind is thinking, well, okay, how could that work, you know? So we all have to do that, keep an open mind and keep all these pieces kind of floating around our head to see how they fit together to tell us the end times situation. In slide 48, it's rather interesting. You see that if you click on the picture, you see an underground, you know, a deep well source of fresh water underneath Jerusalem. And there are several of these around. And if you click then on the text of that picture, you can go back and onto the text. It says something interesting here, which is kind of indicative of some of the, kosher practices I've seen even with some of the rabbis that I knew and visited their home. When it comes to Sabbath and, you know, holy holidays and things, they become very, very pedantic about following the letter of the law rather than the spirit. So in this article it says, Passover, Israel's drinking water will be coming from wells, not the Sea of Galilee. And the reason is that the rabbi says, oh, you know, up in the Galilee, the Sea of Galilee, there are fishermen, people up there, and they throw bread out on the water to feed the fish, to bring them in, to catch them and stuff. So that bread has, the rising agent anyway. And
leaven.
Leaven, yeah, it's leaven. And so it's polluting the water there that they've been taking down into Jerusalem and using it for a ceremony. So now then, they're going to do that, and the water level of the Sea of Galilee will rise for a while because they're going to be using this kosher water in the city rather than that. Anyway, it's, you know, it's straining at the gnat because I'm sure there are other things that, well, water's not kosher with, but anyway.
Okay. Wow.
Look, I was one rabbi friend of mine in Perth many years ago on a Sabbath, and because he was so strict on the law, keeping the Sabbath, doing no labor, he had a young child that was in diapers walking around still. So they were only allowed, when the child messed its diapers, to drop the diapers on the floor right where it happened and give the child maybe new diapers. I'm not sure. But they had to leave it there for a Sabbath, sitting on the floor where they dropped it off of him because they weren't supposed to do any work. He himself even thought this is ridiculous, but he did do it. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
It's the letter of the law Jesus was talking about to the Pharisees of his day. You know, look, you strain at the gnat, you miss, you know, the timber, you know, the log. Anyway, this is just another example of how they got into trouble with the Lord.
Human nature hasn't changed much, or the way we operate and act and do things hasn't changed very much. We got about 14, 13, 12, something like that minutes left. So, just kind of giving you a little bit of, because I know our program clock is a little askew, but, just letting you know. So.
Okay. Thank you for that. I'm looking at there's a timer running on your picture. I see that it agrees with what you just said, 13 minutes. So.
Okay.
All right. Have I covered today the slide 49 about the financial red alert government has created a perfect storm for financial collapse?
No, but this would be good to discuss because I've been following this and we haven't touched really much on this. It's so important for people to understand. So go ahead.
Well, at the beginning of the year, there was a prediction by someone there in news that the dollar would lose 20% of its purchasing power this calendar year. Well, this prediction has already come true now. And, you know, the government is behind this, printing money like crazy, diluting the value of the U.S. dollar. I mean, these trillion-dollar, you know, giveaways or whatever they are hugely decreasing the value of the U.S. dollar. Now, that means our trade overseas and stuff, we have to spend more money to do the price of goods and services and fuel and stuff go up. Well, fuel. Holly just filled up the car, half of it anyway, 9 gallons today. And it was over $30 just for 9 gallons of
mid-grade.
Yeah. It's going to get much worse. And, of course, as this happens, business have to raise their prices or go out of business because they can't compete any longer. And this will hit our economy. And if the United States economy catches a cold, the world dies of pneumonia. I mean, you know, it hangs on what we do. It's just the way it's ironed out over the decades. But
so, you know, about that. So somebody has $1 million in the bank. I mean, if somebody's a millionaire and they have like $1 million checking account balance or saving, whatever, in liquid money. So this article does state, because I was – if you have, I mean, whatever, but it says anything saved in dollars, such as bank accounts and checking accounts, you know, it's the coming dollar wipeout is going to obliterate that. And also mostly stocks, many bonds that are denominated in dollars. So how do you, in pension funds, government pension, so how do you protect against that, Stan? I mean, obviously you've got precious metal and, you know, transfer into precious metals, but how would Stan Dale protect against something like this?
Well, basically, we've got the things that money would buy. We tried to pay up our land taxes on the property in advance.
Mm-hmm.
We've stored a little bit of gasoline so that we have it for emergencies. Other than that, storing the things that money would buy in your home, you know, if you've got money like that, be sure you wipe out your debt to you know, mortgage companies and debts like that to the bank. But that we know that. The banks can take your money and disappear it overnight. It's just gone.
Yep.
So there's nothing there now. Gold and silver, you might have, you know, people have collected that. But it will only be good for a short period of time for trade because the new digital currency, which is in another slide I have here today, the digital currency that's being pressed now then to come into the United States will mean that you would want to convert your gold to digital currency. Or if you do have gold and silver and things like that, maybe it has no value as far as trade, and it'll be illegal to trade like it used to be. Only the government could trade in these things. And then you've got stuff that you're a crook if you're trading behind the scenes. And because digital currency is there, these transactions that you, let's say you took the gold to a store or something, about something, somebody actually sell you something with a piece of gold, then they would record it in their thing as far as digital currency transfers for tax purposes. So these things will be tracked, and you'll be caught for violating the system. So as I say, it's going to be the things that gold and silver and cash would buy that you already acquire and have on your property with you. And you know, weapons are probably a good idea. If it came to shooting people trying to take my supplies, like neighbors and gangs, I would take my weapons and I would fire at them, but I would try to wound them rather than kill them. And if I kill them, it would be by accident because I'm trying to give that person a chance to be saved down the road. I know it sounds funny, but that's what the Bible says. So,
well, you know what? That's kind of you. I mean, to be saved down the road, and I don't think Stan is talking about a physical saving, but a spiritual saving. Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So these things, and that's the problem, because we're going to be forced into a digital economy worldwide. And that digital economy, if you don't be a part of it, you're not going to be trading and buying and selling and doing things like that. Like the Bible says, you're going to have to swear allegiance to the global new world order that will set up in the middle of this, which is another reason I think the Great Tribulation is about to start, is because in slide 51, the Federal Reserve's digital dollar push worries Wall Street. And there they show the countries that have already gone to digital stuff or experiment with it. And when that happens, if you want to keep your house, the property, and that's a big if, they're going to say to you, look, you need to have an ID number and a digital account, or otherwise you can't pay your taxes, and we'll come and get your property and kick you off of it and collect whatever you've got there. So at that time, the church that is, whether they've been raptured yet or not, if they're here, the church is going to have to look at being mobile, you know, to take emergency supplies and hit the road somewhere, I don't know where it would be, in various areas of the country. But this is about to happen. We're getting the warnings, the loud warnings, that there's going to be a global reset in the economy of the world, and it will go to digital cash. And that's, you know, where you're going to need to have an ID on you that can't be duplicated or, you know, forged, and that will be your ID number on your hand, or if you don't have hands, on your forehead. So we're there. We're very close. It's, you know, you expect it any day, and make preparations, as I said, for what you want to buy with that money that you need to have it there on your property already, now, and protected.
Isn't this interesting how the scan, the pandemic, in quotes, and how really all of this is coming into how rapidly this is evolving, as you said. I guess I don't need to echo that, but, when you look at things, would this be the infrastructure for the mark of the beast, or, well, obviously, what you just said, go back and listen to what you just said. Okay. I got it. Okay.
There'll be a test later.
Yeah. Is this going to be on the, is this going to be on the final? Okay.
On a less, war and prophecy situation, in slide 42, there is a video. Israeli vision repair breakthrough puts patients on the road. And we don't have to watch the video at the moment. You can do it later. But this guy leading the team, they've developed a way to shine I guess it's a laser-type light into the eyeball of people that have impaired vision and stuff to repair the neurons and photoreceptors and things in the brain. You have to look at the whole video. But it's restoring sight and making blind people see better that could only just marginally see. And it's one of those things that the Israelis are so good at in the medical field, developing new, leading edge ways to heal the human body and to make the human condition better. The blind shall see, the lame shall walk. I'm looking at this and seeing that there in Israel, and every time I read something like this, I just marvel. It's such a brilliant race of people over there.
I don't want to seem disparaging, but gee, isn't it funny? This didn't come out of, Jordan, or didn't come out of, you get the idea, folks.
How many people in the world, Nobel Peace Prizes have been to Jewish scientists and medical people? They're very, very smart, brilliant, and innovative group of people, and the Lord has blessed them. Whenever I see this kind of stuff, I share it with people because I think it's just another proof that they are the apple of God's eye even today, even though they're kind of rebelling against him a bit. But they are the apple of his eye, and they will return to him at the end of the tribulation.
Well, that's thank God. And, Stan, I look at videos like this, and I think about this, and what good, what great things we as a population could accomplish and could make life better for other people if only we had that, I don't want to say morality, but that spiritual godliness as really that biblical Christian, Judeo-Christian spiritual godliness, I guess is what I'm trying to say. And yet, they'll take technology like this and, perfect something destructive or engage in, creating the infrastructure for the mark of the beast kind of thing. It's a sad state of affairs when we can do so much good and we're seeing so much bad in addition to so much good. But you're right.
On our show, it's not show, it's on our website there, standdeo.com. Holly put up an article there, melting glaciers linked to Alaska earthquakes. And what the video is showing is that as the glaciers melt and fall off of the land, it's changing the stress on the land and creating more earthquakes, which, of course, do their own damage to where you have civilization. And I think we'll see similar things happening in South American, like Argentinian area, where we have more glaciers melting off of the South Pole. But it's quite interesting, the video. Have a look at that when you get there. It's on, as I say, on our website.
Okay. And in the closing a few moments here, don't forget that today is National Puppy Day. And thank you, Holly, for that. And National Puppy Day. Hug your four-legged furry friend. Nothing like a puppy, nothing like a dog, and nothing like a best friend for a dog. So
Holly says dogs rule. Just got to tell you,
Holly, I tell you what, I'm with you there. Dogs rule, cats drool. And that's right. That's my story. I'm sticking with it. Lady, the studio dog. And of course your family member there.
Bella.
What a great picture you sent. I don't want to talk out of school, but really nice of, snuggling by a fire and at the hearth, in a cold winter day. So, I feel like I'll give you here another minute or so. I want to help you save your voice. You okay? We got about a minute left. So,
As long as it's a ledger, you can audible hear it. But, another thing is happening in Israel. They're having a fourth election here in the space of, a year or two, something like that. And for a while, Netanyahu was having to share the government with the opposition party, which were very left-wing. Now then, there's been one of the other parties that was on the left side have joined him, which will give him a clear majority, and he'll be able to run the country outright without all the infighting and stop having elections for a while until the legal time. But it's a good thing, in my opinion, even though, people may not like Netanyahu's policies all that much, but he's the one thing that I think that is keeping a conservative overview in Israel and protecting them from their enemies. He's good with the United States. And so to keep him in power, I think, is the best thing we can have at the moment.
Indeed. I agree. All right. With that, folks, that was Stan Deo. Stan, thank you so much. And Holly, God bless you. Thanks for all you do. I know that you're the unsung hero. Well, not really, but heroine? No, that's...
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. She's laughing.
All right.
All right.
Love you guys, man. Thank you so much, Stan, for everything. All right. Folks, that was Stan Dale from standale.com, and that'll do it for me. Ah. Again, did you miss me yesterday? Huh? Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. All right, folks. May God bless each and every one of you. I want to say thank you so much for your support and bless each and every one of you. And, hey, tell others about this program. Subscribe to us on Rumble. Hey, HagmanStore.com for a great coffee. Have a great night.